News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block off East Cotton, open 7 days a week. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are we standing by? I was ready to go, Melissa.
Oh, God. Christmas is over.
Where is it? Where is this? Is this? We're here?
We're here.
Oh, look. Look, we're in this closet. We're talking history. It must be the radio show.
Yes.
Ah, welcome
here. I have my
here.
Script sitting in front of me.
And
I'm
you
here.
Have your purple headphones on, everybody. It's amazing.
Yes, but I'm not wearing purple. I'm wearing gray. But it looks good
so,
together.
So it goes. So we got this here radio show about El Paso area history, and we're going to do it again today. It's on 690 AM, as always, and it's Saturday morning being what it is. This is where we explain Texas history begins in El Paso, and we're going to dip into a little New Mexico history this morning, but it's somewhere on the internet. Where do you find us?
Well, you find us on KTSM AM, 690 AM, and the internet, where you can go there and click on the iHeartRadio link, and you can listen to us anywhere on the planet.
And do you do that?
Yes, I do on a regular basis. I listen to KTSM all week on the internet.
The 690, actually, if you do the transmitter, you can actually hear it up near Santa Fe. It goes that far.
Yeah, Deming.
I've heard it a number of times up there.
Deming, okay. Clear out to east of here somewhere.
Somewhere over there, Van Horn or whatever it is. Okay,
I'm looking for a pin.
You have trivia, right?
I have trivia, yes, I do.
Would you like the pin thrown to you or handed at you?
Oh, I've got it now.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes, I have it now. Yes, trivia for both hours today, and we have two questions per hour. And for the first hour, we have a $20 food coupon for Pepe's in Canutillo or a $20 coupon for Mission Del Rey Southwest. So the correct trivia answer will have one of those prizes they can win. And in the second hour, we'll repeat, and we'll have a $20 coupon for Amigos.
Amigos.
Amigos out there on Montana at Cotton Street, or a $20 coupon for our Mission Del Rey Southwest sponsor.
Guess what about Mission Del Rey? They made a deal here. They contacted me and said, here's the deal. Everybody on the radio show who wants to, this is the announcement, get out there to Mission Del Rey today. Or Monday. They're closed on Sundays, but between now and New Year's Eve, closing at 5 p.m., 20% off.
That's a good deal.
Anything, everything in the store.
That's right.
And see, that's what's interesting about those guys. They're willing to make you a deal. So anyway, it's 20% off anything in the store when you mention the radio show at Mission Del Rey, today or Monday. That's up until 5 p.m. each day. Okay, history moment. You do have that.
Yes, I do. I have a history moment, and that's going to be kind of an interesting one. It's about a New Mexican territorial governor who wrote a very famous book. I think that many of us ended up watching the movie version this holiday season.
Okay, well, that stuff in New Mexico is fabulous. Let's get right into it, because we have today with us Las Cruces author David Thomas. Morning, David.
It's a great honor to be here.
Welcome here one more time. You've been here a couple of times, but then you got more books.
That's true.
You keep showing up.
That's right. And I love doing it.
Even better. You got a room full of people, a couple more people anyway here. We're talking about the discussion of the killing of Pat Garrett, actually the Wild West's most famous lawman, Murder of Self-Defense, the killing of Pat Garrett. And that is the book we're talking about. Also with you today, you got co-producer of the Pat Garrett Western Heritage Festival, Dan Crow. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome here.
Thank you.
Great. You're the one with the guitar.
I got it.
Okay, you're up to something. We know that. We can tell by you're not just wearing a watch. You got a guitar with it, and that's cool. And the other crowd in here, we're not going to talk about you, are we? No, we're not.
Oh, yeah, we should mention him because I would have put his picture in, I'm sure.
Oh, are you? Okay. Yeah. Well, then, we'll have to get to him in a minute, but his name is Bob.
Bob.
Bob Gamboa. But don't tell anybody.
Mystery
he's here.
Bob.
He didn't want to be here. But now you can hear, can't you? Even better.
Okay. Ah.
Oh, I see. No, see. Yeah, but see, but if you're going to listen in the studio on the application, you're going to be about a minute and a half off. I wish you well.
Huh?
We'll have to plug him into the system here. It's a long delay. But anyway, the whole idea here, you have a Western Heritage Festival that we're going to talk about at some point, but that's all about Pat Garrett.
Yes, it is.
And so this whole thing is Pat Garrett.
We're trying to do everything to bring back Pat Garrett's memory and to help people to understand. Most people have a negative impression of him. He was a remarkable man. He did a lot of remarkable things. People know him for killing Billy the Kid, but of course he was the customs inspector here in El Paso, sheriff for two terms in Las Cruces. Really quite an important person in Las Cruces.
Did he have a Lincoln County title at some point?
He was sheriff at Lincoln County.
Sheriff there too, and Las Cruces.
Yes, and he tried to, he gave it up at the end of his term. He wanted to run for the territorial legislature, but he lost that. A few years later, he moved down to Uvalde, Texas.
Well, the Old West was rather alive in New Mexico for a number of years.
It was, in a way, kind of the last frontier.
I think so. Because you started, I mean, one of the big deals in southern New Mexico, obviously, was the wars up in Lincoln County.
Oh, yes, the Lincoln County War, and then, you know.
Summarize that for a second, if you don't mind.
Well, it basically involved 200 people. It was about a two-and-a-half-year battle. It was an all-out war between two sides, the establishment and some independent cattlemen. The establishment controlled the money. Most of the money that was being made was cattle that was being sold to the government that was then being provided to the Native Americans. They had control of the banking system, the land. They had complete control of everything. An Englishman came in by the name of Tunstall. He tried to shake it up. He started his own bank. He was going very strongly against the establishment, and it led to the Lincoln County War, which was a five-day battle in the city of Lincoln between the two sides. And eventually, of course, McSween and some of the other people on Billy's side were killed. Billy escaped.
So Billy was on one side specifically, and that's which side? Not the Tunstall.
That was the known as the...
it was the Tunstall and McSween.
Yeah,
we need to get you close to that mic. Yeah. Pull that mic. You pull it up to you. That'll work out well. There you go.
And John Chisholm was part of that crew.
Yes.
Well, that whole thing was bizarre. I mean, Melissa, you've taken a serious look, and you looked at this book pretty close.
Yeah, I have to say this book was what I found interesting, and I've not been a big, big reader on Pat Garrett, but I mean, having been involved in Old West reenactment for years, I've heard a lot and met a lot of different people that have written books. I know a lot of people, Bob Bosbell, a lot of the other people have written on Billy the Kid. What I found unique about yours is you kind of like went all the way back to square one with this book and talking about it. And, you know, Lincoln Wars is what you always seem to hear the most about that with Billy the Kid and such, and then towards the end when he was killed. But you kind of went back to square one to where everything kind of started with Garrett, how he came to Las Cruces, where he went, and then the step-by-step-by-step to his death and went into more detail about his death and what was involved. A lot of people don't realize, and I didn't really realize until I went up to Las Cruces when they released the coroner's report, which they found buried in the safe amongst a bunch of papers after, 111 years.
You took a look at it yourself.
Yeah, in fact, I got a copy of it. I met and interviewed the county clerk at the time about it, and he gave me a copy of the coroner's report, which you have also in your book.
Yes.
Which was funny because it was a yellow piece of paper, and it was handwritten, and it was signatured by five different people. And it was really kind of interesting. It really didn't tell you any more than we didn't already know about how he died.
That is correct.
But it was self-defense. I'm like, what? I mean, if you look kind of...
Well, this, of course, is the topic of my book, and I start with Garrett arriving in Las Cruces, and the reason I do that is because that's the very first act in the chain of events that eventually leads to his killing. He was brought to Las Cruces as a private detective to try to solve the Colonel Albert J. Fountain disappearance and murder. And then eventually he was promised at the time he'd become sheriff, which he did become sheriff. He investigated the case. He eventually collected the evidence, which was presented in the trial that was 3 years after Fountain was killed. He was killed in 1896.
Put some dates on this. Garrett showed up in Las Cruces to investigate the murder of the Fountains at what time?
Yeah, Colonel Fountain was killed February 1st, 1896, and Garrett arrived in March of 1896.
So when was Billy actually ultimately killed later?
You mean Garrett?
Billy.
Oh,
he was killed earlier.
He was gone by then.
Yeah, Billy was killed in 1881, so this is many years later.
After, 81. Okay, yeah. I didn't have the time frame in my head.
July 14th, 1881,
okay.
Yeah, about midnight.
So this was actually after a lot of the gun battles in El Paso had subsided. you had John Wesley Hart in 1895, was it?
Yes.
95.
95, yes.
Yeah. And so these were after that. What happened next with Garrett? I mean, did he like living there?
Well, Garrett was expected to be able to solve this crime. Of course, in the end, nobody was able to solve the crime. But he investigated for 2 years. He came up with three suspects. Eventually, two of them were tried. The trial itself, which we're going to reenact in the Pat Garrett Festival.
Oh, are you? And then we're talking about the Fountain murder trial.
Yeah, we're going to reenact that based on the transcript of the trial, and most of the words in the play will be, the reenactment will be the actual words.
What is this about, Fountain murders? What, explain that.
Well,
I know what it is. You know what it is.
Right.
But we need to explain it.
A lot of people don't realize it.
What are you talking? It's a biggie.
It's probably the most famous case in New Mexico. Colonel Fountain was a Union soldier that came over with the California Column, helped drive the Confederates out of Mesilla. He eventually became a lawyer. He was in the territorial legislature. He was one of the most famous people in New Mexico. And he was hired to combat some rustlers. And he went up to Lincoln, to the courthouse in Lincoln. He got indictments for 23 men. And as he was coming back, he was handed a coffin note.
Now, have you ever
heard of that?
No. What does that mean?
This was something that was contemporaneous at the time. It was very common in labor management disputes, particularly in the mining. And the note said that if you throw this down, meaning throw it down to the ground, he's given this as he walks out of the courthouse, we will be your friends. Otherwise, you will not reach home alive.
Wow. Now, I've never heard that one before.
Yeah. What's interesting about this is that Dan has written a song about the coffin note for our festival, which he'll be performing. He can do it today if you ask him.
Why, are you ready to go on that right now?
Sure, I can do it. The coffin note was, I think, first introduced historically by Sonnichsen, wasn't it, in one of his books?
Yes.
And
we need to move you right up on that mic.
David,
move that mic over there.
Oh, good idea for the guitar.
Just down on the guitar.
Put it down a little bit.
There you go.
There you
hey,
go.
Sergio, good luck with this.
Perfect. Yeah, here we go.
Sergio's like,
you're on, dude.
You getting that guitar?
Oh, we hear it good.
Anyway, okay, it's important, I think, to know that Colonel Fountain, when he disappeared, was murdered. It was his little boy was with him, Henry.
Yeah,
8 years old. I think that's the one that really pulled at my heartstrings with the whole story going on.
You got 2 minutes. Go.
Okay. About how long the song is.
That's why I said that.
Little Henry Fountain, only 8 years old, in a wagon with his daddy going home. On the white sands of New Mexico in 1896, he disappeared, their whereabouts unknown. Now Colonel Albert Fountain was a father and a friend, a soldier and a lawyer with a code. He'd gone to get indictments on a gang of cattle thieves when he got that coffin note. It said, if you drop these charges, we will be your friends. If not, you won't reach home alive. Albert and young Henry, they never made it back. It was their final ride. Yeah, little Henry Fountain, only 8 years old, in a wagon with his daddy going home. On the white sands of New Mexico in 1896, they disappeared, their whereabouts unknown. The names of their killers still unknown. Albert and young Henry, they never made it.
Good.
That's
I like
Dan
that.
Crow.
Yay. Thank you.
Dan Crow original and a performance original
thank
right
you.
Here live.
And it's called the coffin note.
The coffin note. Well, thank you for doing that.
You're welcome.
But you're using that to explain some of the history. That's fabulous
yes.
stuff.
Yeah.
And so that murder never got solved, but Garrett was brought to the area for the purpose of solving that murder. And then he became a sheriff. Then he got into all the other stuff.
That's and cool. that
by the way, we should mention, is still an open case in Dauphin County.
Oh, yeah. That's I would think so. Literally a cold of cold cases. Yeah.
Well, we need to take a break here, but we can come back and explain a little more about that particular event, because Garrett, no doubt, got details all over the place on that one.
Absolutely.
And did he ever go over to the Oliver Ranch?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll see how that turned out. So. All right, I'm taking a break here. Melissa, you got some trivia about all this, don't you? You do.
Well, yeah, but did we cover it, though?
Well, make up some new ones.
Oh, yes, thank you. Okay.
Well, you want me to make up one?
You make up one. How's that?
Okay. What year did Billy the Kid die?
Okay.
I got that one because I asked that. Okay, that's in there. There's question
and,
number one.
And, there we go. I've got the last one, which was the bonus question. We can use that one, too. Okay.
Do that.
First one, like you said, the first question is, what year did Billy the Kid die? And the second one is, how many people in the studio have seen the Once Lost Coroner's Report?
Either a copy or the original. Well, how about the original? Okay, now we see a show of hands here, but we're not telling you how many. How many people in the studio have seen the original? There's four of us, and there's two more in the control room.
That's right.
Out of six people, how many have seen the original?
The original, yes. We're actually at the coroner's...
A coroner's report for...
Release.
Pat Garrett.
That's right, for Pat Garrett.
Interesting stuff.
So that'll get people going, huh?
this is worth doing because...
We're making you work today,
You got the Mission Del Rey thing. You got the what? The Pepe's on this hour?
Uh-huh.
And what else?
And that's it.
Okay, that's good. You get one or the other... And we have a bunch of phone lines. They need to call us.
At 544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Get a gorgeous floor at an impressive price at Lumber Liquidators' end-of-year flooring sale. This week, get solid hardwood from only $2.99 per square foot and save an extra 10 to 25% on clearance deals. And to help you decide which floor is best, you can see hundreds of our floors in your space with Picture It, our online visualizer tool, only at llflooring.com. These are the floors homes are built on. Lumber Liquidators Flooring.
With PatriotSoftware.com, accounting and payroll, keep your time and money.
Mike Capple here, serial entrepreneur with words from another happy payroll customer.
My husband and I started a business together, and I had no idea where to start when it came to payroll. And a friend of mine recommended Patriot, and I have not looked back since. It was extremely user-friendly. I was actually able to understand it and run everything extremely well. And anytime I've had a question, they have been so quick to answer and help me. I definitely recommend it to anyone who is looking for a payroll software that is easy to use, user-friendly, and really offers everything that you need when it comes to something that's beneficial for your business.
Visit us at PatriotSoftware.com. Use promo code RADIO and get 2 months of payroll free. That's PatriotSoftware.com.
PatriotSoftware.com. Accounting and payroll. Keep your time and money.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got lots of callers here tuning in. You guys woke up. We weren't sure you were out there, but you're there.
Yeah, and the guitar player woke up.
He put him into harmony.
That's right.
Not sleep. Okay, enough of that. Hey, why don't you hit the like button? We'll get all callers. We'll have prizes for everybody if you can answer the questions correctly. But the like button on
everybody.
Facebook, you got to go there. Facebook is a biggie for us. We had, I think, close to 8,000 people looking at this promo for today's program. That's a lot of people. Yeah. And that's just Facebook. Not everybody does the Facebook. But one major piece of business we need to do is Pepe's.
Pepe's.
We need to pick a Pepe special. David
Ooh,
Thomas, what do you
think? Right.
You have one figured out for Pepe's today?
I certainly do. My favorite? The green chili meat enchiladas.
There you go. Now, those are very good. Is that the one you can throw an egg on that if you feel like it?
Oh, that's the only way to have them.
Now, Pepe's is 6761 Donovan. Today's the day to go there, about 12:30. This crazy crew will be there with books to sell inside.
Oh, exactly, because he'll have to play while we're eating lunch.
Well, you can play if you wish.
He can't eat. He just has to play his guitar.
Can play your guitar, but get some food. But the
play
thing
for
is,
his lunch.
They've got this book. Melissa, run down the name of that book again. It's got a subtitle on it. Say that whole thing out there.
It says, by David G. Thomas, Killing Pat Garrett, the Wild West's Most Famous Lawman, Murder or Self-Defense.
Let me see that book here. And we've got one line just opened up.
I couldn't read it to you?
No, that's not the point. You want to see how big the book is. That's how big the book is. We have to drop it on the table.
It's big, but it's not that big. It's easy read. And tons of pictures I had never seen before.
What's the ending number?
258. Good, I got my own copy.
200 pages and change.
It's got 105?
258 pictures, 104 never before seen.
That's what I meant, 104 never seen
before.
Well,
you're bringing
out
all kinds of new stuff I never heard of before in this whole thing.
I mean, some great pictures.
There's six pictures of Pat Garrett that have never been published before, including one tent type.
Where'd you get them?
I got them from two different sources. I had to pay to use them in my book. One of the sources not particularly wants to be identified at this point.
Anonymous sources.
That's right.
But you think it's Garrett?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no doubt.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's in the book, and we've got some books to buy today out there at Pepe's if you're interested. And what we got a bunch of – oh, there's one line dropped off. Whoever Roger, you dropped off, man.
Come
What's
back,
wrong with
Roger.
You, Roger?
Come home,
Don
Roger.
Don and Eric are still on. One line open, 544-5876. Question number one going. Are you ready for a question?
Question number one.
We got to go and find a guy named Don. Don, you're on the radio. Talk to Melissa.
Hello, Don. How are you today?
I'm just fine.
Okay. Did you want to answer the Billy the Kid, or did you want to answer the one about the coroner's report?
Billy the Kid.
Ah, okay. What year did Billy the Kid die?
1881.
Oh, you're so astute. I love our listeners. They're so astute.
And that was just a few years after the war in Lincoln County.
That's right. It was basically a year and a half later.
Wow.
Yeah, Billy had a short life.
Well, he ended up in El Paso. He ended up in San Elizario. He got around quite a bit. And so I know Eric. Eric dropped off.
Oh,
hey, Eric.
Eric,
come back.
Come on,
544-5876. And I'll tell you what. If you don't like our question, make one up.
That's
Let's
right.
See if we can answer it. We'll still give you some stuff, but I need what we do. Incentive here. We've got Don on the phone here, right, Don?
So, Don, what did you want? Did you want the gift to Mission Del Rey Southwest, or did you want Pepe's?
Pepe's, New Mexican restaurant.
He knows. I love it when they
Fair enough. We'll see you out there today. If you're interested, talk to these guys. You have to buy a book today if you want. Otherwise, well, thank you for playing. Hold on, all right, Don?
Okay.
Thanks a lot. Shelly will tell you how to pick this up. And Shelly's in the control room talking about things and two people. And then the other guy in there is Sergio Valenzuela, otherwise known as...
Sergio Valenzuela!
Where's your crowd?
They were quiet. It's at the end of the, it's the end of the decade.
So what's the question left out that nobody wants to answer?
It was, how many people in the studio have seen the long lost... coroner's report themselves.
Take a guess between 1 and 6.
And you'll get
you some free stuff.
Hey, I mean, it's a chance. Take
all right.
a chance.
Nobody's on there. We're going to take a break and come back and deal with this again. Shall we do that?
That's all right.
Sergio, 3, 2, 1, go.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
If you're looking for a great paying part-time job with flexible hours, check out 2020 Census Jobs. You may have another job or not. You may even be retired or looking for some extra income, but you can also help make sure that everyone gets counted. So apply today at 2020census.gov/jobs to help strengthen your community.
Hi, I'm Brandon Webb, former Navy SEAL and founder of The Cray Club, the number one tactical and survival gear subscription box in America, curated by former Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, and Special Forces professionals. I know being prepared matters, so if you're looking for a great gift, choose Cray Club. Also, from now until the end of the year, for every annual Cray plan you buy, we will donate a Cray to a U.S. active duty service member. So help us support the military community and give the gift of Cray Club today at CrayClub.com. That's CRATE Club.com.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, I forgot to tell you that they're doing archery today at the Museum of Archaeology.
No, I just got a note.
Oh, did they cancel it again?
They canceled it.
Oh, they had it ready to go yesterday.
Yes, anyway. It's unfortunately the weather.
Oh, well, do what you can. Maybe they can shoot indoors over there.
Well, they get the baby mammoth in there.
Don't even think about that.
Oh, no.
Okay, and we did pick the special, so we're good on that.
Yes.
I tell you what, let's do. Somebody needs to answer a trivia question.
Oh, okay. I have something for the Liberal Arts College, though, at UTEP.
Okay.
Let me get it through that one.
But I want to give away a book. See, we got one of their books sitting here.
Oh.
Call back and you'll win a book if you answer the question. We're going to make one up.
Okay.
When you get there. Okay, 544-5877. Okay. What about the liberal arts people?
Well, I was talking about this before we started the show. The UTEP College of Liberal Arts is holding its 23rd annual El Paso History Day Saturday, February 22nd. And this year's theme is Breaking Barriers in History. Students are encouraged to choose a topic in any local, national, or world history and investigate its historical significance and relationship to the theme by conducting extensive primary and secondary research. The registration closes Monday, February 10th, and they've got a master schedule and they're of judging to teachers for February 19th. But they'd love to have more volunteers. The contest itself will be from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, February 22nd. Give Charles H. Martin a call at 747-7055. Encourage your students, your children, your grandchildren to get involved. And this is a great program because it goes from here to Austin, I guess, for the state, and also on into Washington, D.C.
It's like a science fair contest.
It's a great, and
it goes to nationals.
Right, it goes for scholarships. So, hey, get your kids involved.
Interesting stuff going on here. That's a college up at UTEP, the liberal arts. Okay, we got nobody's. Oh, there's the caller. Shelley just got the caller.
Ah.
Let's see if one of you give away a book. Pat Garrett and the America's Most Famous Lawman. Now, he was famous because of a lot of reasons, but one was he got onto a national scene by running into presidents a lot.
Actually,
what was that all about?
Well, he met presidents five times. He met McKinley once, and he met Roosevelt four times, twice in the White House. And, of course, Roosevelt was very interested in Western figures like Garrett and so on. And so Roosevelt was responsible for Garrett being appointed the customs inspector in El Paso in 1901.
And there was some objections, apparently, in El Paso to that appointment.
He was extremely honest. And the problem at the time was that the previous inspectors probably were not that honest. There was a lot of cattle being imported from Mexico at the time, and the tariff depended on how old they were. And Garrett did his own checking and determining of the age of the cattle, and they were used to having maybe 5 or 10% of their cattle being older, which would be a higher tariff, and he'd find 70 or 80% of it that they were trying to sneak in.
Oh, he didn't like the way – they didn't like the way he was doing it.
And so the campaign started against him, including a whispering campaign, a campaign of anonymous letters. Eventually, they were able to persuade the Secretary of the Interior to turn against him. And when the time came for Garrett to be reappointed 4 years later, Roosevelt was too cowardly to tell him himself, I'm not going to reappoint you. Instead, he said, I'm no longer the person responsible for appointing it. I'm going to let the Secretary of Interior do it. And, of course, by that time, that man was an enemy of Garrett's.
Oh, it's with that politics being what they are. We did end up with a caller coming back here, by the way. Dan, is this Dan or Don? What do we got here?
Dan.
Dan.
Good morning, Dan.
You didn't do this contest just a while ago, did you?
No.
That was Don. That was Don. Okay, you're Dan.
Dan, hey, I'm up here in Las Cruces. Great show.
Thank you.
My trivia, I got trivia answer and I got a comment.
Sure.
Or request. Six, for the number of people have seen that.
No.
Seen the document.
No.
Not in our studio. The question is how many in our studio?
No, that wasn't the number.
I have to answer the other question. Make up another question.
How about, let's see.
We're trying to give this stuff
away
to you.
Let him ask us a question. He's got a comment. But
does he know who is the person that killed Pat Garrett?
Oh.
Negative. No.
You don't. Okay.
Does anybody know?
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask Dan Crow when's he coming to Cruces, and Jackson, could you ask Dan to play another song for us?
Oh, he's got one ready to go.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Sergio, we need his mics put back together over here.
Oh, yes.
There you are.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, I'm coming
okay,
in. I'll be back in the end of February for the Pat Garrett Western Heritage event that's on February 29th.
Which will be held at the Rio Grande Theater. And we will have original music by Dan Crow. He's got about five or six songs that he's composed. And then we have the play, the reenactment of the Fountain Trial. And then we're going to show a historic movie, the 1955 movie, The Left-Handed Gun, starring Paul Newman as Billy the Kid. It's a wonderful movie.
Yeah.
Hey, I went last year. It was great. I can't remember the other musicians. It was three men.
Yes.
A woman, and then there was a whistler. I think that was your son,
nephew, Scott. Yeah, thanks for remembering that. And then Ash Soler, she was one of our band members, and my buddy John Wood and Don Kinghorn out of Arizona. So they'll all be there, the same crew together this time, too.
Great. Looking forward to
it.
I brought my neighbor's kids, two young kids. They really had a great time.
Thank you.
We could ask him one more question if you wanted to.
Sure, try it. Give it a shot.
Where was Pat Garrett killed?
I'll say the answer, but I'm not going to pick up the prize, but... Can I take a pass on it? I'll just take a pass. But
you
anyway,
can do whatever you like, actually.
I'm going to hang up, but really enjoy the show.
Thanks
Jackson
a lot.
And Melissa.
All right.
And
thank you.
Thanks,
you take
no
it easy.
Bernie today.
I will. Thank you.
You take it easy. Thanks a lot. Well, he was out on a trail somewhere, wasn't he?
Yes, it was east of Las Cruces.
But it's also been marked in some fashion, right?
That's correct, and I write about it in my book. I give the complete history. It was actually located over 100 years ago by two brothers known as the Isaac brothers, who actually came upon the body shortly before the coroner's report. The coroner's jury showed up. And so they are the ones that put the little stone there with the cross in it. And previously we did not know the accurate history, but I've recently determined what it was.
Okay, we haven't mentioned what he was doing when he got shot.
The interesting thing is Garrett was in tremendous financial trouble. He had met with Jim Miller and a man named Adamson in El Paso. The problem is he had rented one of his ranches, the Rock House Ranch, to a man named Wayne Brazel, who put goats on it instead of the cattle that was expected. A conflict developed between the two men. Garrett thought he had a deal where the goats were going to be sold to Adamson, and then Adamson and Miller were going to buy his ranch, and that was going to save him financially. So both of them came into Las Cruces. A lot of people don't realize that Miller was there. He was there for 4 days. Adamson goes out to Garrett's ranch that night. They are riding back that morning to sign the papers. Wayne Brazel is riding alongside them on a horse. Adamson and Garrett are in a buggy. conflict develops between the two men. Adamson steps out of the buggy to go to the bathroom, and while his back is turned, Garrett threatens Wayne Brazel. Wayne Brazel draws a pistol, shoots him once in the top of the back of his head, and then a second time in the chest as he's falling. So the controversy is, was it murder? And this is what I address in my book, whether it was murder or self-defense. Of course, Brazel claimed self-defense. I'm able to find an enormous amount of unbelievable new information about it, including the transcript, Wayne Brazel's transcript, and that sort of stuff. And I believe that I conclusively prove which it was.
And you want to wait to read the book to find out what the answer is?
Of course.
I think you should.
Okay, so you're the author. You get to say that. But it was that I heard it was Pat Garrett who was out relieving himself. It was the other guy.
See, that was a rumor. It was a rumor that was only put forth the very first day. It was never repeated. Oh. It never came up in the trial. It never came up in the grand jury testimony. They had confused, actually, Adamson. He was the one that got out to urinate, not Garrett.
Interesting stuff.
But that certainly has fed all the various conspiracy theories.
Yeah. And you got to the bottom of them, you think?
I think so.
Okay, we got some more callers stirred up on various things here. Let's go to Chris. Chris, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'd like to take my shot at the trivia question.
Which one do you like?
Well, which one you got?
Well, the one we were just talking about, with the one in the studio with the coroner's report?
There's five people sitting in the studio. How many of them have actually seen the original?
I'll guess two.
There's only two hands up?
No, there's...
There's four. I'm sorry. Yeah, it was four. But should we give him a book anyway?
I think we should.
If you're interested
it's
enough...
It's kind of a hard one. Yeah,
it was kind of a crazy question.
We should have said, how many from El Paso?
That would have been you.
That would have been me.
But you actually went up and took a look at it.
Yeah, I went up and took a look at it and interviewed the people.
All right, Chris, we're going to give you a book. What do you think about that?
Very good. Thank you.
Are you very knowledgeable about Pat Garrett?
No, I would like to learn more.
Well, we've got a book for you.
David G. Thomas wrote this book, Killing Pat Garrett, The Wild West's Most Famous Lawman, Murder or Self-Defense? That's how big it is.
I put 12 years of research into that book.
Well, it sounds like a whole bunch of your life went into this. This is a lot of stuff that you have done here. And there's a bookmark here, kind of unusual, but we'll just leave it at that. This is your bookmark?
Yeah.
That's her copy, but we have two copies to give away.
Okay. Well, you can have your bookmark. All right, we got a book for you. How's that sound?
And I'll sign it.
Thank you very much.
And this is Chris on the phone here?
Yes.
All right, to Chris, okay?
To Chris.
Sounds good. All right. Hold on here. Shelly, tell you how to pick it up.
How much does this book cost?
Hold on. It's $19.95.
That's not bad at all, $19.95.
And where can you get them at?
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at the bookstores in Las Cruces and some of the other bookstores across the country.
But Amazon's easy. That's easy enough. All right, let's go now to – we got another caller named Rick. Rick, you're on the radio. What's up?
How are you all doing today?
Surviving. And you?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing.
What's on your mind?
Well, just two things. I have a trivia question for you folks to try to answer.
Okay, and I think we have a Pepe certificate available, I think. Go ahead. Or Mission Del Rey, we got that. Go ahead.
This is one I've got for you all. I know that Pat Garrett's gravesite up in Las Cruces is not his original burial site.
That is correct. I write about that in my book. He was originally buried in the Oddfellow Cemetery. There's a plot there with the Garrett name on it. I've got all the details about when he was buried, whether the family members were buried there, and when they were moved to the Masonic Cemetery.
Did he answer your question?
Well, my trivia question for y'all was, what year was everything moved to the current location?
1951.
What I read.
Did you hear that?
1951.
You heard 51? Okay, mine was a different thing. I'm sure you're right. Okay. I heard 1957, but...
In 1957, the city asked everybody to move the graves from there, but Jarvis and his sister had arranged to move Garrett and his family members in 1951.
Okay,
so there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, the only other question I have for you, David, the murder site out there, east of town?
Yes.
I have heard that is under threat of development. I'm wondering what the state of that is now. Are they keeping the house builders out of the area?
Yes. All of us here are members of the Friends of Pat Garrett, and we are a society. Our responsibility is to take care of that site. Now, there was a developer that was actively looking at developing that area about 10 years ago, and he died before he could do so. The other people have the right to develop it, but essentially right now it's on hold. And so we have spoken to the city. The city understands the importance of that site. And if a developer begins to develop that area, I'm pretty confident that we'll be able to preserve it. We did apply for historical status, national historical status for the site, and we were turned down, which flabbergasted me.
Really? That I'm totally blown away. That
and happened. I write about that in my book also.
Rick, can we answer your question enough?
Yeah, that's all I wanted to know. I'm just glad that steps are being taken to keep people from building anything anywhere near that. Yeah. Y'all are doing right. Keep it up.
All right, you want a coupon for something?
No, not today. Fair Maybe enough. Next time.
All right, thanks for calling. You take it easy. Appreciate that. Interesting history, and a lot of people are stirred up by this. What are your thoughts?
Did they give you reasoning for the turndown on that, for the National Historic?
Well, I quote the letter that they sent us in the book, and, I mean, it's just flabbergasting. He says basically that Garrett's not important enough, and consequently they're not going to try to protect it as a historical site.
Did it get its state recognition
no,
first?
No,
you may have to go through the steps of going through state.
That's right. The state turned it down, which means you get turned down by the national automatically.
Okay, yeah. And the state turned it down.
Yes.
Let's get a posse and go
there
see them.
Yes.
What do you say?
Yeah.
That could happen that way.
Down.
Maybe we shouldn't do that. But a lot of stuff going on here about the history of Pat Garrett, and the book that we're talking about is about Pat Garrett. And there seems to be a bunch of new information that I have never heard before. And you just found up all kinds of stuff. The Wild West most famous lawman, murder or self-defense, the killing of Pat Garrett. And a book signing today, by the way, Pepe. So if you're interested in that.
Yes.
All right, we need to take apart some of these pieces and put them back together. The whole idea of Pat Garrett, what kind of guy was he?
He was extremely honest, and that caused him a lot of problems. He also had a short temper. And that additionally caused him some problems. And the interesting thing is there are all these conspiracy theories that he was killed by a man named Jim Miller, who was a professional killer, and some other people. But what I'm able to demonstrate by the fact that I found the transcript is that Brazel had threatened him just before Garrett shot him. I mean, that Garrett had threatened Brazel just before Brazel shot him. And Garrett had a short temper. I don't think he really intended to kill him, but Brazel was looking for an excuse. He had had quite a bit of experience with the law. He'd seen some previous cases where people got off on self-defense. He was kind of hoping that Garrett would provoke him sufficiently to shoot him. They'd had a big conflict about 30 days earlier. They had gone to a justice of the peace court and was not really resolved. One of the things that I discovered is that there was a territorial policeman that was assigned to investigate the earlier conflict between Garrett and Brazel. And then he later on actually testified in Brazel's trial, and he testified for Brazel, testifying that Garrett had threatened him a number of different times. And so that was sufficient for Brazel to get off on self-defense. It wouldn't be sufficient today, but at the time it certainly was.
All right, maybe another mystery you might take up someday, the Fountain Murders?
Well, I write quite a bit about the Fountain Murders in my book because
Garrett
investigated and then he testified in the trial.
Right.
And in order to do this play that we're doing at the festival, then it was necessary to dig out everything we possibly could about the case. And we've got the actual words of the people testifying. One of the interesting things about the trial is that the defense attorney, who was Albert Fountain, who most people have heard of, who's quite famous, he actually calls himself to the stand for a while in the trial.
Wow. Must have been kind of bizarre. And you have transcripts of some of a bunch of this stuff.
Yes, the reenactment's based on the transcripts.
All right, we'll take a break here, come back and talk about the reenactment, but also maybe come back and hear another song. What do you think? You about ready
for
one?
Yes.
What do you got? What do you got in the wings here?
Well, there's an interesting side story to this whole thing, and it involves a heavyweight champion of the world around that time named Bob Fitzsimmons. It ties into this whole story.
All right, we'll get that in just a second. Yeah. Shall we take a break? Call us up. Are you Facebooking yet?
I'm working on that. I'm going to have the picture up after the next couple of breaks. So
fair enough. But Facebook, you can see what we're up to over there.
I can get over there real quick.
Or you can call us if you think you need to.
544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Hi, I'm Brandon Webb, former Navy SEAL and founder of The Cray Club, the number one tactical and survival gear subscription box in America, curated by former Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, and Special Forces professionals. I know being prepared matters, so if you're looking for a great gift, choose Cray Club. Also, from now until the end of the year, for every annual Cray plan you buy, we will donate a crate to a U.S. active duty service member. So help us support the military community and give the gift of Cray Club today at CrayClub.com. That's CrateClub.com.
With colder temperatures on the way, keep your car running with Prestone Antifreeze. Only Prestone's superior formula works immediately, protecting your engine from the elements to keep your engine running better. So take on the winter with Prestone today.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, by Monterey Asset Management, by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563, and by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It hits the fan when it does. You know, that's what we're doing in here. And we're talking about basically Pat Garrett, the killing thereof, and we'll get back to that in just a second. But we need to tell you a couple of things going on around here. The Southwest Chapter Railway Locomotive Historical Society meeting Wednesday, January the 8th, El Serape Restaurant on Montana, 6 p.m., 591-2326. Big Boy Visit in El Paso. They were talking about that huge train that came through. They got a whole thing on that. Harvey Girls, and they had drone footage. These guys, well, they had drones at the edge of town and had drones coming all the way in. There's drone footage of this thing all over the place. Harvey Girls of El Paso, Monday, January 13, 2020, at the Union Passenger Station Depot, 2 p.m. Fred Harvey Legacy Continues by Press Dirkup. Call them up and get some details, 591-2326. What do you got?
Well, the El Paso Corral, the Westerners International number 26, will meet Friday, January 17th at the Holiday Inn West at I-10 and Sunland Park Drive. And their program will be the Apache Origins in El Paso. And this is going to be presented by Max Grossman. And the dinner program cost is only $20. Visitors are welcome, but you must RSVP by Monday, the 13th of January, to 759-9538. And then Weiler Aerial Tramway has their first hike of January 1st at 8:30 a.m.
Are you going?
No. New Year's. Are you kidding? I'm going to be out at the Sun Bowl all that day.
Oh, my.
So New Year's Day hike, you'll hike up Directismo Trail, and participants must bring water, weather-appropriate clothing, and such. And then Saturday, January 4th, they'll have Arts in the Park for the kids up there at Weiler Tramway base station. And then Sunday, January 5th, they're going to have a woman's hike only. And if you're interested in any of this and more information, call Diana Moy, the park coordinator for these events. Call 562-9899.
Who's ready for a guitar song here?
Let's play the
guitar. I think we are ready for this. We have Dan Crow.
I'm ready to be soloed.
Dan, what do you got here?
All right. When the decision was made to bring Pat Garrett back to New Mexico from Texas, it was made in a hotel room here in El Paso. Governor Thornton, yeah. Uma Raymond, Albert Fall, they were all there meeting, and they decided to hire Pat to investigate the Fountain murder. The reason they were here is because they were ready to take a train over to Langtree, Texas, for a fight that was being put on by Judge Roy Bean. It was a heavyweight fight between the Irish champion and a guy named Bob Fitzsimmons, who was an up-and-coming heavyweight, who ended up being heavyweight champ. Anyway, so I thought this is certainly an important part of this story. So it is a little song about Big Bob Fitzsimmons.
Go for it.
From northern New Zealand to Langtree, Texas, with the power of a punch to the solar plexus. That was his famous punch. Well, Bob Fitzsimmons is coming to town. Bob Fitzsimmons going to put you down. Bob Fitzsimmons is coming to town today. With blacksmith shoulders and fists like Burl, the heavyweight champion of the whole wide world. He fought Tom Sharkey and Irish Pete, even James J. Corbett on the list he beat. Bob Fitzsimmons is coming to town. Bob Fitzsimmons going to put you down. Bob Fitzsimmons is coming to town today. Yeah, well, he fought Peter Maher down in Mexico. Judge Roy Bean promoted that show. His first fight with Sharkey was a thing to see. Even Wyatt Earp was the referee. Bob Fitzsimmons is coming to town. Yeah, Bob Fitzsimmons going to put you down. Bob Fitzsimmons is coming to town today. Yeah. Yeah, from northern New Zealand to Langtree, Texas, with the power of a punch to the solar plexus, Bob Fitzsimmons is coming to town today. Yeah, Bob Fitzsimmons is coming to town today. Yeah, Bob Fitzsimmons, heavyweight champ of the whole wide world, used to travel town to town, taking on all comers, whether bare knuckle or Marcus of Queensberry. Bob Fitzsimmons, yeah.
Dan Crow, there you go. Thank you very much for being here, dude, doing that. And you have a CD out on this stuff now.
I do. And real quick story about that.
Make it very quick. You got 3 seconds.
Okay, we got more to come back to. Okay.
So now we're about to get hit. Our break is now about to happen. And so, but we'll come back, tell us the story, how that got.
Yeah, because there.
And also, what else is in your CD? I mean, people can buy this.
Yeah, actually, it's a giveaway. This is an early recording I did of a couple songs. There's
okay.
Just two songs on here.
All right, we'll talk about that more after.
Yeah.
But see you guys after the news. Melissa, you going to be here?
Sorry.
I think I'll be back. See you after the news.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for archived copies of this radio show. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690, KTSM, El Paso.
Message and data rates may apply.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you.